You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
James 3:1-5. And so we're going to deal with something today. Timely for some, there's a few issues that we've had to deal with over the last 2 weeks, and so this will help a lot of people today. Sometimes people say, Pastor, you're preaching for me. Well, yeah, I'm preaching for everybody, but it wasn't specifically for you. I mean, when you're going through the Bible, it's just whatever is the next thing. That's it. It's just the next thing. Last thing we preached was James 2:28, and now it's James 3:1-5. And so before I get into that, I want to say that next Wednesday is the anniversary of an event that happened in 1945. And in 1945, there was a bomb dropped on Hiroshima. And this is the end of the Second World War. And so the Americans dropped this bomb on Japan, a place called Hiroshima. And this was the first atom bomb, first one. And they estimate, I don't know how accurate this is, but they estimate up to 166,000 people died from one bomb. And that's it's an atom bomb. And if you know anything about physics and atoms, don't go asleep on me. As soon as I said 1945, some of you went to sleep. Don't worry, just listen to me. It's going to be interesting. And so the atom, the split in the atom. How you split the atom is one particle, they put it, it hits the atom, it splits, and the energy is released. This is from the understanding of energy and mass, E equals MC squared and all of that. And so Einstein come up with that. And so they understood that, okay, if mass and energy, if we can split the atom, there's going to be some energy release. And so you split one atom, one particle hits an atom, you split it, about enough energy to move a grain of sand is released. Just a grain of sand. You split it, one energy is released, because of mass and energy and all of that. And so, so how do we get this bomb? Well, what happens is that when it splits, it lets off another particle. Each one lets off a particle, and then they hit two. And it causes this chain reaction where something starts so small, the splitting of one atom starts a chain reaction till you get an explosion. And this was the first, compared to what they have now, this is nothing. They say there is enough nuclear bombs in the world that people have enough nuclear bombs. I don't know if someone's got a phone over there, please. Enough. Cowboys, man. But I love you. Enough nuclear bombs in the world to destroy all life on this planet. I mean, it's pretty scary. And you think that came from such a small thing as splitting an atom. You can't even see an atom. We'd never be able to see an atom. You can't see it like with your physical eye. Let me look at it. You can't see it. Something so small releases so much power. I want to speak about small things holding a lot of power. James 3:1. Let's get through this. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. That there is a warning to those of you that want to teach. You're going to come under a stricter judgment from God. So be very careful what you ask for. He says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn them with the whole body, and they turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by a fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, that your spirit will be upon us. We pray, Father, for you to move upon us today. Move upon the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you would just allow this service to go smoothly. We pray for your anointing on the equipment, on the mic, on the speaker, the projector, and everything. In Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
God is going to speak to us today because the devil is trying to fight this service. I want to say that small things hold power, and I want to start by saying your tongue is a small thing. Yeah. Compared to the other muscles in your body, your tongue is a small thing. Compared to the muscles in your arm, how many know the muscles in your arm should be bigger than your tongue? There's something not right. The tongue is such a small thing, but can I say to you, as I said with the atom, it holds great power. It can hold great power. It can change things. It can destroy things. I want to say to you today, this statement, please hear this. The words you speak and what you say, how you use your mouth, will change your life. Your words are going to change your life. How you speak. See, the danger is, because the tongue is such a small thing, we overlook it. We overlook small things. That's just the way we are. And many could have overlooked the atom. Ah, so what? One atom, it split it. It gives enough power to move a grain of sand. But that one atom splits and it becomes a multiplication. It keeps splitting. It's only words. I want to show you from the Bible. The Bible says, well, words are very powerful. First thing I want to say about words are spiritual. Words are spiritual. How do we know that? Because God uses them. How many know God is spirit? We know that. Jesus speaks to the woman at the well. He says that, you know, God in heaven, he's spirit. He's not flesh, not carnal, he's not this physical thing. He's spirit. And the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke. God speaks. God said. That means words are spiritual. That means they carry a weight that we don't even see in the physical realm. That's what spiritual means. It means that things are happening beyond the concept of your eye. The Bible says that everything was made by words. This is very interesting. Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. Now, there's a lot of things which were and things that, but basically what it's saying is that we understand by faith that the world was framed by the word of God. God spoke everything into existence. God spoke. That means everything about life that we see was made by the word of God. God spoke it. Now, let me give you some interesting little kind of side note for those of you that are into science. Now, when you look at everything is made up of particles, we understand that. Scientists have kind of proven that. We would go along with that. And so the smallest, we just spoke about the atom. And when you go down, you have proton, neutron, and electrons going around it. You remember you see that those things sticking together and that thing that goes around it? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? But anyway, follow along with me. Even smaller than that, they say the universe is built up of this. Even smaller than that is these things called quarks. Small, these are the smallest units. But lately, scientists, as they're observing the universe and looking at things, there's a thing, I'm not proving it, and I'm not saying it's true, called string theory. They say that this is the smallest thing, even smaller than a quark, that even makes the quark. These are the building blocks of all the universe, string theory. And what they say is everything is made by this thing which vibrates. When they said that, I said, well, it could be, you know, because the Bible says God spoke it. And maybe just because God's word is still vibrating through the universe, everything is held together. But let me tell you this now, whether it's string theory or any theory, I know this. This is the God, not theory, God fact. God spoke and everything came into existence. And so the Bible shows us that the word, everything is made through the word of God. It didn't come by an accident. Nothing can't make something. They don't make no sense. We live by words, the Bible says. Proverbs 18:21, preached it many times. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it eat of its fruit. Listen to what the Bible says. There is death and life in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the ability to bring death, destroy, destruction, decay. Or your words have the ability to speak life, revive, revitalize, refresh, nurture. Your words, the words that you speak. See, think of what words are you speaking right now? See, many of us have come from, just normal background. Maybe some of us come from a bit of a ghetto background, like myself. And so, as you hang around in those circles, it's talking negative. What? And this and that, I'm not even going to go into what was said. But it's negative, and it's speaking over your life and over people. You hear people talk about their kids. You're worthless, you. This, you're just like your father. This and that. You're speaking death. In your marriage, what are you speaking? Why did I marry you? Death. Death. Listen. Ah, I want to do. No. You start speaking that, soon you're going to want it. Soon you're going to be doing it. You got to speak life. You got to speak life into things. The Bible says life and death is in the power of your tongue. And then it says, those who love it are going to eat of its fruit. You, by your words, are planting a tree that's going to grow and in your life. And later on, as it grows, you're going to eat the fruit of the words you planted. See, when you think about that, if I said to you, okay, we're going to put you on an island and here are some seeds. What seeds do you want to take with you? You'd be like, well, I want to take some banana seeds, some apple seeds, some good seeds, man. I want to take. What if we said, okay, yeah, you could just take some weeds. Some nettles, you don't want those things. Because you realize you're going to plant that. That's going to grow. That's basically what it is. The Bible says your words are like that. Your words, what your words are planting things, and they're going to bring forth the fruit. This is something that I read today that as I've read it and I've preached from it, but I looked at it and I saw something more in it. Mark 11:23. Jesus is speaking and he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The Bible says, Jesus says this, listen, you live by your words. He says what you speak is going to be what you're living. And he speaks about speaking to a mountain. Now, when you read in that text, we use that text many times as a faith text. And it is a faith text. But in that text I read, it only speaks about faith once. But it speaks about words three times. Because Jesus says, if you speak to the mountain, and then he says, if you believe in what you say, he says, you're going to have what you said. Three times he speaks about your words in that whole text. That your words is connected to faith. He didn't just say, if you believe that the mountain will move, just look at it and believe. That's not what he said. He said, you got to speak to it. He said, what are you saying? And then you got to believe the words that you're speaking. Do you know sometimes it's very hard to speak words of faith? It's very hard. People, I believe, Pastor, I believe. Have you been speaking it? Have you been declaring it? It's declaring. There are times when it's hard to speak faith. There are times when you're going through a tough situation and you want to speak words of doubt and self-pity. This is hard. This is hard, Pastor. I don't think I can make it. This is too hard. Why won't you say, this is hard, but I will make it? This is hard, but let me tell you this now. God is bigger. This is difficult, but I'm going to make it out the other side. Because it's hard to speak words of faith. It's hard. When you're angry, it's hard to speak words of faith. When you're angry with somebody, someone's to speak words of faith. We'll get over this. In your marriage, when you get angry, listen, that's the time when you need to start. You need to discipline yourself when you have an argument. So can you still speak words of faith? Speak words and believe them. Faith is tied to your words. I've been believing, Pastor, but have you been speaking? See, don't overlook these words. The Bible is showing us, listen, the tongue is a small thing, but it holds a lot of power. Can I say to you today, your lips steer your life. Your lips steer your life. Now, not like how we spoke about on Sunday, about the honey lips. We don't want that kind of steering. People sometimes they'll say, it's just words. I just said, we were just talking. In our text, he says this, for we all stumble in many things. This is in book, and this is in James. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man. James is saying, listen, he's saying, listen, we all make mistakes. How many of we all make mistakes? And he says, most of us, most of the mistakes that we make are in words. He said, if we're going to make a mistake, more than likely you're going to make a mistake with your mouth. How many can say we've all made mistakes with our mouth?
Yeah.
Listen, I've made mistakes with my mouth. I've said something, oh, why did you? You ever said something, why did you say that? Or later on, you're driving somewhere. Many times I've said things to someone, and then later on I'm thinking, why did I say that? The classic one, you know, oh, when's the baby due? I'm not pregnant. Hey, I mean, when is, the other baby that the other person's going to have? You can make a mistake with words. You say something. The Bible says, listen, if for you not to make a mistake with words, it's going to take, he says, you have to be perfect. Now, what he's talking about, he's saying that you need to be mature. You're going to have to use a lot of wisdom. Did you know that you're going to have to use a lot of wisdom? When it comes to words, you're going to have to lose a lot of wisdom. And so I'm dividing up this passage of James 3. And we're going to, over the next 2 weeks, well, we've got revival, then another week, we're going to be dealing with the mouth. And we're calling it taming the tongue. Because listen, you need, if you don't get this thing down, it's going to hurt you, man. Look at someone say, it will hurt you. We need wisdom with the words, you know. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of a wise man is gracious. Gracious. He says someone who's wise, they speak words and they bring grace. That word grace means favor. It means like, yeah, we can sort this out. There's a hope. There's grace there. You know, my wife, lovely woman there, she's a wise woman. She can speak. Sometimes she will speak to me, and she will speak words of grace. See, sometimes I can be a little bit why? No, we're going to deal with this now. Why ain't this done? And my wife can, sometimes I'll leave, oh, why didn't they do that, man? Come on, these bozos. That's it, he's out of ministry. And my wife will be like, babe, come on. Out of ministry for that? Come on, what about when you was a young, okay, yeah. Because she's a wise woman. Sometimes I could be driving. Someone just come, hey, boy. Let me just show you some discipline here, man. My wife will be like, babe, let it go. It's a wise woman. Sometimes in the church, she can speak to people and dissolve situations. Because the Bible says the words of a wise person brings grace. But the Bible also says the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. What it says is this, imagine. The fool will speak things and his own lips. Imagine, this is how my mind is crazy. I was thinking of this. Imagine your own mouth, you're saying things, and then the things you said, your mouth just swallows you. You said things out, and now they're like, oh my days. They've swallowed you. I think if we're honest, we've all done this. We've all done this. You know, sometimes when a sermon's being preached, we can easily, yeah, that's for so-and-so, man. Yeah, you're thinking, yeah, they need that. Listen, we all need this. We all need this. We all need this. He makes a statement. He builds a picture of two things. He speaks about the bits in the horse's mouth. We didn't have time and the thing's not working. But here you have like when you're riding a horse and you're holding on to the reins of a horse. How many understand what that is? You're holding on to the rein. That's the strap. And it's connected to the horse's mouth. And that thing in the horse's mouth is called a bit. It could be called something else, but Bible times they called it a bit. It's in the horse's mouth and it's connected to the rope, the leather strap. And that's how you're controlling the horse. That's how you're controlling the horse. And the Bible is saying, just like you have this horse, and I've explained many times, in Bible times, the horse is a thing of power. Whenever you see the horse being mentioned, it speaks about something of power. And the horse, the Bible is saying, as the tongue is a small thing, like the bit in the horse's mouth, the tongue controls power. Your tongue and my tongue is a thing that controls the power in your life. See, the horse, what would the horse be used for in Bible times? Well, two main things. We'd see the horse be used for war, and the horse would be used for agriculture. The horse has always been used. Even up until the First World War, they still, in some battles, they were using horses. First World War, they were using horses. Horses have always been used in war, as long as man can really understand battles and these things. These are the tools and the powers and the weapons that if you know how to use them right, you can win a war, you can win a battle. And what are we saying? Is that the tongue is going to determine, the words that you speak are going to determine and control the battles that you fight in life. See, every single one of us has to fight a battle. There ain't nobody in this world that says, no, no, no. Life just gives you battles. Life just gives you problems. Life just makes, there's always going to be a battle. Somewhere we're going to have to fight something, somehow, somewhere. That's how it is. If you're someone, oh, I don't want to fight a battle, then crawl up in a ball, go into a dark room in the corner and lie there and die. Lie there and die. And we're checking, when you're dead, we'll just take you somewhere, that's it. Because listen, if you're not willing to fight, you're not going to get anything. I don't mean fight people. I don't mean fight the system, fight the government. Let's do another riot. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life just as a battle. Some of you will battle depression. Some of you will battle loneliness. Some of you will battle insecurity. Some of you will battle health, family, finances. Can't think about all the things, but can I say to you today, the words you speak will determine your victory in those battles. Too many times people are complaining about the battle. I don't want to battle. Listen, learn to speak the right words in your battles of life. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how dark and down and lonely you've come from. If you will learn how to speak right, you can speak yourself out of that situation. Agriculture, fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is linked to your words. It's connected to your words. He's saying the tongue is like the bit in the horse's mouth. It has a control over things of power. He also says this, also look at ships. If you have a big ship, you understand. He says the ships are blown by a mighty wind. He says they're very large and they need a big wind to blow them. But he says, even though they're massive and they need wind to blow them, they're controlled by a little rudder. He says a very small rudder. That's just like a little piece. Bible times it would have been a little piece of wood at the back of the boat, has a handle on it, and you turn it left and right, and it turns the boat. That's what enables the boat to turn. You turn it that way, the boat will go that way. You turn it that way, the boat will go the other way. It's a tiny little thing. And he's saying your tongue is like that. He says that your tongue changes the direction of your life. It's the words that you speak that are defining your direction. It's the words you speak. They're controlling the direction that you're going in. You're not ship in Bible times. Ships in Bible times would have been the only means to cross oceans. Can't get a plane. You have an obstacle. You need a ship to get across that obstacle. Your words are going to be the tools that are going to be used for you to get over some obstacles in life. Not only that, ships, if you had a ship that you could travel. We understand that they would travel to distant lands. You would get wealth by trading. You study countries that have gained wealth. It's always to do with trading. Going to different countries, getting different things, whether right or wrong. But that's what it is. That's how it is. That's how stock market starts and trading and all of those things, because of ships going in and out and insurance and all of that. And so we understand even now that if there's going to be some increase, that if you're going to step into new territories, cross over boundaries, if you're going to get to places, that's going to be connected to the words you speak. Your mouth. What words are you speaking? Are you speaking words of doubt and fear? Oh, I ain't going to make it. I'll never make it. This is not going to work. Or are you speaking words of faith? It can work. It will work. I am going to make it. Many of you, I've told you my testimony of no education, expelled from school, all of these things. But I remember getting saved and finding out what I wanted to do. Listen, a man needs to find out what he wants to do. If you're a man in this place, you need to know, what do I want to do? Before you start worrying about getting a girlfriend, what do you want to do? You got a girlfriend and you're going nowhere. It's just going around in a circle. What do you want to do? Once I realized what I wanted to do, I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to become a designer. I had no education, no nothing, expelled from school, I had no GCSEs, no nothing. I don't have nothing. But I saw it, I said, that's it, that's what I want to do. I'm 22, you know, I've lived a silly life, I just got saved, but that's what I'm going to do, and I spoke it. And listen, that's what I became. That's what I became. And many times through my life, things that I've just said, things what I've just said. You know, the funny thing, I was thinking about this today, and you can do with this, you can do with this whatever you want to do with it. But I remember when we just came and the church was up the road there at the Methodist Hall, and this building was derelict. This, you know, this building was nothing. There was no apartments, there was no anything. I remember driving past, there was a building here, and across the road there was another building or a vacant thing there. And I remember saying to my wife, imagine if we could have our building here. Imagine if we could have our building there. And I would drive around Wandsworth and just say, one day I'm going to have a building bigger than that. I'm going to have a church in there. I'm going to have things like that. Can I say to you, things are happening. Because I speak it. I remember when at one service, the most men we had in that service was three. Three men. That was it, every service, three men. Three amigos, three. I remember calling them to the front. I said, let's pray. I said, soon, these three men are going to turn to six. Six to nine. Nine to 12, whatever. And then, whatever. I told you I ain't got no GCSEs. And we've seen it happen. And this is why I say, listen, there will be 1,000 people in this church one day. There will be many ministries and many missionaries and many pastors and many evangelists and many things flowing through this church. This church will change this borough. This church will change this borough. And we've only just scratched the surface. We've only just seen an inkling. Some people may be pleased with this. Yes! Nearly 200 people. Praise God. Listen, this is just the scratch of the surface. This ain't time to rest. This is time to buck up and get down to business and start speaking things. You got to speak things. Because listen, if you want to increase, see, a ship would be used for your direction of a destination. And destination is connected to destiny. Your destiny is linked to your words. Your destiny is linked to your words. Remember, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Paul says, too hard, I'll never break this cycle of sin. You never will until you stop saying that. Oh, I'm always going to be single. Well, maybe you will. Until you stop saying that. Maybe you need to buck up and say, no, I'm preparing myself. I'm going to get married in Jesus' name. Amen. If your woman start doing what you need to do, if your man start doing what you need to do, and believe God. Let me close. In our text, this is what he says about the words. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. He says it's a little thing, but it boasts great things. The word boast, this is, in the Bible, there are many words in the Greek which are translated, and in the Hebrew, translated to boast. But in this text, it's the only time it's there. But to boast is what he's saying is, even though the tongue is a small thing, it talks a big one. That's what he's saying. The tongue is a little thing, but it talks a big one. You ever seen a little person and they talk a big one? I think it's called little man syndrome. What? They're always the loudest. That's what the Bible is saying. The tongue is a little thing, but it's always talking a big one. Can I say the tongue is an amplifier? But that can be used for bad, like we've said, but it also can be used for good. If we will all repent, turn to Jesus and say, God, help us, change us, renew us. God, we want you to use our tongue. We want, if the tongue is something which boasts and speaks great things, then let it be done for God. Let us speak great things for our God. Listen to what it says, Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight, declares the Lord. God says, if you're going to boast, if you're going to go around like a big mouth, if you're going to big up things, then you need to be bigging up God. You need to be talking about the things of God. I cannot stand when I see Christians cower into the corner. Are you a Christian? Yes. Why are you hiding in the corner like that? Why are you embarrassed over righteousness? Why are you shy with those things? I remember, I've said it many times before, when I was a sinner, I wanted to be the best sinner. Wanted to be the best sinner. When it came to sin, I remember being saved just a few weeks. And I said, you know what, Courtney? When you was in sin, you went right in. You never held back. I never got to, I'm just sinning too much, you know. I need to just, I'm just sinning way too much. I never thought, oh, bro, you're drinking too much. You're smoking too much drugs. You're checking too much girls. Never thought that. I never thought that. If it was smoking weed, I wanted to smoke the most weed. That's right. I'm not advocating that. Listen, follow me. I'm going to get to the other side. Some of you that, some of you wanted to hear, hey, tell me how you smoke that weed, man. No. Listen, I wanted to get the most out of it. But when I got saved, I put down the raving. I put down the girl. I chasing the girls. I put down the weed. And I said, you know what? I'm going all the way for Jesus. All the way for Jesus. When I would drink alcohol, I would look. What is the? How much alcohol is in that? That's weak. I'm not drinking that. I'd have to spend too much to get drunk. Give me the strongest. Spend the least, get the most power. That's how I would roll. Can I say to you today, if you're in the church today, you need to be looking, how's that? If I hang with them, then I'll probably be on fire in the next 20,000 years. Let me move with him. Yeah, he's on fire now. Yeah, I want to get down with this guy and get on fire for God. This sister, get on fire for God. Listen, we need to boast about the things of God. Boast. Lift your voice. You get on the bus, there's two Christians on the bus. You're like, pastor, some people preach on the bus. Okay, you don't want to preach on the bus, have a conversation about God and raise your voice. Say, oh, today the church was good. Wasn't it good? It was good. I like the way that pastor was talking about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that saves you from sin. People will look around at you. You just lift your head. Hey, you alright? I'm alright. You want to know? No. Then turn your head. Jesus is good. You need to be boastful about the things of God. God said, if you want to boast, boast in this, that you know me. You're with me. Talk about me and the things that I'm into. Said the tongue boasts. It's a little thing, but it boasts great things. We need to use that. Our tongue. God wants to get hold of some of your tongues in this place and start to set it on fire for the things of God. But how do we do this? Let me show you how you do this. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ. Say that with me. Let the word of Christ. Okay, then he says, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. He goes on, he says, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word, translation, this is the low translation. Whatever you say, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Sorry, give thanks to God, the Father, through him. The Bible says this. He says, what you need to do is, if you want to be this type of person that speaks these type of things, you've got to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What he's saying is, fill yourself up to the brim with Christ, with the Bible, with the word of God, with the preaching of God, the things of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. He says, so you can speak wisdom. Sometimes you let people, you hear people open their mouth, it's foolishness. Sometimes it's the people of God, they open their mouth, it's foolishness. I've been to fellowships, I've been out to places with people from the church. And you know, I'm the pastor, so I do expect that there is a level of maturity that I have, which is probably above the people in the congregation. The leader has to be at least a little bit out in front of those he's leading. That's just the reality of it. But sometimes you could be someone, you hear people open your mouth and you're like, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Why would you say that? But you know, I love you, amen. I hug you. Listen, you've got to fill yourself up with the word of God. Otherwise, you're going to speak foolishness. See, when you fill yourself up, he says, let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So imagine you're like a bottle or a jar or a vase or whatever you, a container. And he says, let the word of Christ, imagine word of Christ is like the liquid. Let it be in you richly. The word richly, which means abundantly, abounding, over the top. Pour that into you so that it's right to the brim, and then whatever is coming out of you is going to be Christ. Amen. See, the problem is, some people, there's only a tiny little bit of Christ. There's only a little bit of his word. If we start to do some Bible quizzes, some of you be ashamed. Some of you scared that you thank God for electronic Bibles. Because if I said go to Amos, what? What? Amos? Some electronic Bible, you thank God, right? Just let me go there. Hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to fill yourself up. He says, because then you're going to speak wisdom. This is when you speak wisdom. See, you know, sometimes what you see is people, they want to look wise. They want to look wise, so they walk around. They want to look wise, but they don't read their Bible. Let me start counseling some people. Let me start giving them my wisdom. Listen, you may live in the world for a little while, and you may have got a few little things right in the world, and you've done a few things for yourself, and you've achieved a few accolades of the world. But when you come in the church, unless you're filled with Christ, you're going to start talking nonsense. You're going to start talking nonsense. Because he says, the only way you speak wisdom is if you're filled with the word of Christ. My wisdom is not my wisdom. Listen, if I don't read, if I don't pray, and if I don't fill myself with the word of Christ, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to talk nonsense. I'm going to preach nonsense. He says, teaching. You can't teach people something you don't know. I'm not even going to get into that. And he says, even admonishment. You know, that's rebuking. You know, got people who want to rebuke people, but don't read their Bible. Sister, you ain't got no business rebuking them. Come on. You know, you got like, they think they're the rebukers of the church. They're just the rebuking machine. They go around rebuking. Listen, read your Bible. Anybody here knows if I rebuke you, I have to bring Bible. I bring Bible. I just don't like that. No, I'm going to bring Bible. Say, this is what the Bible says. The unity of the church. This is what the Bible says. Oh, do you agree? I don't agree. Okay, if you don't agree, what did I say that is wrong from the Bible? Because I've learned, if I rebuke you without using the Bible or a biblical principle, I've got no leg to stand on. Yeah. You'll be like, well, I don't agree with that. Oh, we'll be going backward and forward. Yeah. Before you rebuke people, you better have the word of God richly in you.
That's right.
And then he says, whatever you do in word, he's saying, whatever you speak, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything you say should be, God would be pleased with it. Everything we talk about. And if you fill yourself, listen, if you do not fill yourself with Christ, you're going to speak nonsense. You're going to speak nonsense. You're going to text nonsense. You're going to tweet nonsense. You're going to post nonsense and Facebook nonsense. You're going to do, nonsense will come out of you. Foolishness will come out of you. And some of that stuff will be destructive. Fill your mouth with the words of Christ so you have no room for carnality. We need to just say, you know what, God? Have my tongue. Have my tongue. God, I want you to use me. I think every single person up to this point can look at something we've said to somebody at some point and realize, God, I shouldn't have said that. There's not one of us here. There's not one of us here. There's times I've said things. Even around with other pastors, I've said something. Oh, hey, where's so-and-so? Hey. And then I get away and God will convict me. Why did you even have that conversation? Where was God glorified in that conversation? Why did you have to have that conversation? That was nonsense. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not entering into that. But times now, people talk, I just shut my mouth.
Amen.
I don't need to get involved in that. That's not edifying. That doesn't glorify nobody. Yeah, so what? Whether it's good or bad or whatever, if it's, there's certain things you just don't need to get involved with. How many know that's true?
Amen.
Let's fill ourselves with the words of Christ and let God use us and use our tongues. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.